So we'd like to have them present with them a little gift, a token. It's not enough, but it's, you know, just something to show our appreciation. So. As we continue to remember the freedoms of this country, to recognize sacrifices that continually are made, even today, to keep this country the freedom that we have, I would like again to honor the veterans, and also the first, if we have first responders and nurses, they've all been a part of this. So if they would stand at this time, the veterans. Thank you, thank you. And again, let's pledge allegiance to our flag this morning also, as we remember. Shall we stand and pledge allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. Our Troy number is 519. God bless our native land. Let us continue in worship with our Troy. 519. For a call to worship, I would like to use, found in Genesis chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. And from that time forth, there were wars and bloodshed among them. But the Lord came and dwelt with his people, and they dwelt in righteousness. And the fear of the Lord was upon all nations, so great was the glory of the Lord which was upon his people. And the Lord blessed the land, and they were blessed upon the mountains and upon the high places, and did flourish. And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there were no poor among them. And Enoch continued his preaching in righteousness unto the people of God. And it came to pass in his days that he built a city that was called the City of Holiness, even Zion. And it came to pass that Enoch talked with the Lord. And he said unto the Lord, Surely Zion shall dwell in safety forever. But the Lord said unto Enoch, Zion have I blessed, but the residue of the people have I cursed. And it came to pass that the Lord showed unto Enoch all the inhabitants of the earth. And he beheld, and lo, Zion in process of time was taken up into heaven. And the Lord said unto Enoch, Behold, mine abode forever. As we talk of Zion, we one heart and one mind. And this summer I've heard this statement several times. Settle this in your heart. Settle this in your heart. We yearn to be his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ called his people Zion. And as I pondered that, I thought, what a joy that the Lord would call us Zion. We would be called Zion, and to be his people. Enoch established the cause of Zion and built the glorious city in 1 year. And then they dwelt in righteousness for 365 years before they were translated. We might not have a year. Well, let's start today. Today we have the opportunity to reach forth and partake of the broken body and spilled blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those of us that have entered into covenant with him partake. We are known as close communions, not closed, but close communions. And so if you have not been baptized by authority, we'd ask for you to reframe. But we would ask you to question and talk to us about that. But you are welcome to worship with us. From the Book of Mormon. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times old, and come to the Lord with all your hearts, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanliness. Ask not that you may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken that you will serve the true and living God. See that you are not baptized unworthily. See that you partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily. But see that you do all things in worthiness, and do them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you do this and endure to the end, you will in no wise be cast out. Let us continue in worship with the use of hymn number 521, America, and then our invocation will be brought by priest Brian Burke. Hymn number 521.
Sweet breath of life, my dear, be our sea. Our Father in heaven, what a pleasure it is to be able to come to this place to worship you. And we pray that we have done it with an eye single thy glory, and that our hearts are right before you. We ask, Father, that you would bless us this morning, that your Spirit would abide in strength and power. And we know, Father, that we have come before you as broken and fallen people. But we trust and we believe in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from that fall and made it to where it's possible that we would be able to come back into thy presence. And as we renew those things and remember the gift that was given to us, Father, may we do it worthily before thee. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for your great condescension towards the children of men, and we just praise you, and we ask a blessing upon us this day. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who is worthy to save. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Sustainer of life, the one who gives us breath moment by moment. Father, we bow before you, not only as a handful of your priesthood, but as your congregation. And not too long past, Father, we raised our hands in support of this man to be our pastor for the coming year. We've tried to follow your commandments of operating by common consent. It's always a pleasure to do so, but sometimes it's bumpy, and sometimes it's a challenge. But you have been with this congregation through the many years that we have struggled to do the things that you command. And Father, even though we raised our hands in support of this man, it is up to you, Father, to give him a blessing that none of us can give. We can pray for him as we do. We can uplift him in our hearts and in our minds and in our actions. But only you, Father, can give him the wisdom and the discernment and the gift of your Spirit to guide and direct him. And so as a congregation, and as we, the elders of your Melchizedek priesthood, put our hands upon his head, Father, we ask that you will accept this setting apart, that he will be separate from us and yet integral to our function, that he will be separated from us in that he rises above us in earthly authority. And we turn to you, Father, for that guidance and direction and that spiritual leadership that allow him to also be our guide and the one who inspires us to do as he's already asked, that we might be that people you call Zion. It requires all of us, Father, to at least symbolically lay our hands upon his head and bless him as our pastor and submit to the leadings of the Spirit that he has given to love him and cherish him and to allow him, Father, to guide and direct us as your Spirit leads him. So, Father, we pray a blessing that only you can give upon this man, and that through him that your blessing would be emanated out across all of your congregation. So, Father, in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask that you would bless this man as we set him apart to be our pastor. And we ask this prayer and blessing in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning to share in this particular ministry. It's a special day. We have met early this morning to bring our petitions to the Lord, to humble ourselves before the Lord, to try to put ourselves in a position where the Lord can bless us as we renew our covenant relationship with him that we made at the waters of baptism. And though our table is covered at this time, if the cover was off, there is a superscription that is written across the front of that table. And it is, "This do in remembrance of me." And the point of that declaration, and that is the Lord's declaration that he made to his disciples, was that we never forget the price, the suffering, the willingness on his part to go through all that he went through, not for himself, but for us. In remembrance of me. Remembering is an intentional activity. It's something that doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional. It's an intentional activity and is anchored in relationship with those that you love. For those that you care nothing about, you never think twice. But for those that you care about, that you love, that you have a relationship with, those are the ones that you remember. In the book of Corinthians, Chapter 11 of the book of Corinthians, beginning with verse 26, we read this. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." It's a remembrance of the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And so every time we partake of the sacrament, it isn't just so that we can feel good and that we can feel cleansed from our sins. It's to remember the one that made it all possible. Because he did something for us that we could not do for ourselves. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, some have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The point is, the sacrifice that he made was for our benefit. And that as we come to set before this table, before we partake, that we look at our lives and we don't just do a superficial examination. But we look deep within to see where have we fallen short. What have I done? What have I said that I should not have done or should not have said? Or what have I not done that I should have done? To examine means it's a testing process to eliminate sin. You look at your life to see what is this activity that Val has been involved in this last month. What have I done? And I see where I've fallen short. I see where I've done things, I've said things that I should not have said. And I examine my life to see where the sins are, that I might have them eliminated. It's so that we can see our sins. There are those that have come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and felt unworthy to partake. And Brother Doug has said the only thing that makes us unworthy to partake of the sacrament is our unwillingness to repent. That's all the Lord requires of us, is to be willing to examine our lives, see where we've fallen short, and then say, Lord, I don't want those kinds of things in my life anymore. And I repent of them. I want to do better. You see, coming to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not to disqualify us from partaking. It is not to be able to look at all of our sins and go, oh my. There is no way that the Lord could accept someone like me. It is not to disqualify us. Our sin should not drive us from Christ. Rather, it should drive us to him. Because he's the only one that can do anything about them. And so let us examine our lives. And as we recognize those shortcomings, those sins that so easily beset us, let it not be the thing that keeps us from him. But let it be the thing that drives us to him, that he might be able to take that atoning blood and make a difference in our lives. In the book of Matthew, we read this. Matthew 26. And this is where Christ was just before his death on the cross and trial. He was with his disciples. And he instituted this very sacrament that we will partake of today. And so in verse 22 of Matthew 26, we read this. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament." What is that New Testament? "This is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament." A testament is a covenant relationship. "Which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name, for the remission of their sins." How do we have our sins remitted? Just because I recognize that I've got a sin in my life and I go to my Heavenly Father and I say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I don't ever want to do that again, but the damage has been done. I've already transgressed." Something has to happen to that sin in order for me to be able to stand before my God and Him to be willing to accept me. There has to be a remission of that sin. It has to be taken away. And remission means to restore to a former condition. Well, what was I before I was a sinner? I was a baby. Because the scriptures are clear that the children are pure before their Maker. They are not capable of sinning. And so if I was pure, if He is restoring me to a condition, a former condition, it's not something that's never happened to me before. I've been there, but now I'm not. And the only way to get back there is for a remission of those sins, to be taken and wiped out. And that is exactly what Christ did for us. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, how the Lord does this. Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Eternal redemption for us. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the new covenant," that testament that He told His disciples about when He gave them the wine. And He said, "This is the New Testament, that new covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And this is where the tire meets the road. This is where it all happens. "For where a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the victim. For a covenant is of force after the victim is dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all, while the victim liveth. And so Christ was telling His disciples, this bread and wine, this is the new covenant that I am asking you to enter into. Are you willing to do that? And they were His followers. They had been ordained. And they were willing. And so He says, if you are willing to enter into that covenant with me, it is possible because of the sacrifice that I am going to make. He hadn't made it at that point. But the sacrifice that I am going to make makes it possible for you to come back into my presence, for you to be pure and holy before me. Verse 21 says, "Moreover, he sprinkled," speaking of Moses, "he sprinkled likewise with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." That's why, as Adam was before outside of the garden, and the Lord said, "I need you to make a sacrifice of a lamb, pure, spotless, without spot or blemish." And he did. And then an angel came to him and said, "Adam, why are you doing that?" And Adam said, "I don't know, except that the Lord commanded that I do it." And so the Lord sometimes asks us to do something when we have no idea why he's asking us to do it. He's just asking us to do it on faith. And then the angel gave him understanding. He said, "This is the similitude of the sacrifice that Christ will make in the meridian of time. He will take our sins and he will remit them. He will make them of no consequence in our life anymore." "And it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Do you know when it was that the veil, in the scriptures it talks about, came a point in time where the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom? Do you know when that occurred? It was about the ninth hour when Christ gave up the ghost. Because without the sacrifice of the life, the covenant is not in effect. And before this time, once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice for the sins of all the people. But not anymore. Christ paid that price. He was that lamb. He was that lamb without spot or blemish, no sin, that offered himself for us and is set down now in the presence of the Father. And he did it for us. The words of a song come to mind. "All to him I owe." Because I owed a debt that I could not pay. Because he paid a debt that he did not owe. What wondrous love is this? And so, as we prepare to partake of the sacrament, let us indeed do this in remembrance of him.
In preparation for the table being prepared,
let us turn in the tan hymnal to hymn number 84. And I know this isn't a conventional communion hymn that we normally would sing. And I know as a veteran, I was taught not ever to surrender. And yet today, we are asked to surrender unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in preparation, let us sing hymn number 84, I Surrender All. We have gluten-free bread here for those that need that. As Brother Brian reads the blessing upon the bread, let us kneel facing the altar as much as possible.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments, which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Again, let us kneel as a blessing is read upon the wine by Brother Jesse.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them,
that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Has anyone missed their portion of the bread or the wine? Shall we pray? O God, our Heavenly Father, we have no way of comprehending the love through the sacrifice of your only begotten. But Father, we do have a desire to be your people, to be called and even as the Book of Mormon teaches us to experiment upon your word and to plant that seed, even just a seed of desire to believe, that it might grow and somehow we might sense the swelling of that seed and know that it's a good seed. So, Father, we pray, continue to pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. For, Father, we know that your Zion will be and we know it's our choices that keep us from it. So I pray, Father, that I might be willing to make those changes and make those choices that direct me to your kingdom, your Zion here upon this earth. And I pray for that blessing upon this congregation. For Father, we are brothers and sisters a family of yours. So help us to truly yield and surrender and have that desire to share the hope of this gospel, the joy of this gospel with those we come in contact with. To not hold back, but be moved into out of our comfort zones, to be your mouths, to be your feet, to be your hands. Might your Spirit dwell with us always. And Father, help us always to lift up those on our prayer list and prayer chain and just and those are shut-ins and unable to get out. Help us to lift them up and to go visit, to share that hope with each one. So I thank you, Father, for this blessing of this day, the sacrifice that your Son was willing to make for each one of us for eternal lives. And I ask this, offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sang a hymn, I Surrender All. And as we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ,
It is through his love that is sacrifice. And we recognize that in the lives of people that there are many, many needs. And sometimes there are those physical needs. And as we come for our offering this morning, we talk about the oblation, that money that is put aside to feed the poor and those that have special needs. And we recognize that the Lord in Scripture has said that sometimes we have to feed the physical before we can feed the spiritual. And so it's important then that we recognize that in the lives that we live, that we do not allow pride to overwhelm our emotional and our intellectual, that we're willing to see the needs of others and be willing out of that love that Christ has given to each of us, that we might be willing that we would give it to others that have that need. It tells us in the Book of Mormon in the second chapter of Alma that the saints at one time were in need. And it says that the Lord blessed them and they grew and they prospered and they had much wealth. But then it said that they had pride within their lives. And so when they saw this inequality between those that had need and themselves. And so it says in these words in the verse 20, it says, "And now there was a great cause of lamentation among the people, while others were abasing themselves, succoring those who stood in need of their succor, such as imparting their substance to the poor and the needy, feeding the hungry, and suffering all manner of affliction for Christ's sake, which would come according to the spirit of prophecy, looking forward to the day, thus retaining a remission of their sins." And so we recognize that as we take up our offering this morning, how the blessings that God has poured out upon each one of us, and recognizing that it's out of the portion of that that we give back to Him in our offering of tithes and offerings, but also that extra that goes for an oblation for those that are sick and needy and those that have special needs. And so this morning, as we come in remembrance of the sacrifice that Christ made for us, may we also recognize the sacrifice that we need to make for those that have need. We also recognize that through prophecy that we've been told that there will be times that many people will come to our door and ask for sustenance, asking for our food. And will we be willing to give out of our abundance? But then also, when that abundance is almost nothing, are we willing to give them that last bread, that last piece of bread that we might have, that they might have life, that through Christ, that we too will have life? And so may the ushers come forward, please. Our most gracious and loving Father in heaven, We count the blessings, O Father, that thou hast given to each one of us through thy Son. We look at, Father, our storehouses and the things that we have and the bank accounts. Help us, O Father, now at this time to give a portion of that back to thee, not only in our offerings, but in our hearts, that all may be fed, all may prosper, and be brought into the fold of thy loving kindness. And so we pray, O Father, a blessing upon each one as we share in that opportunity now that you provide for us. And may each one, O Father, sense the gratitude that we have received from above. And may we now, Father, out of gratitude and out of opportunity, be willing to give for the sake of the kingdom, even that of Zion, that all, that there will be no poor among us. And we pray this in Christ's name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time that we have had to come and share together, to hear the words that you would have, to support our brothers as they embark on new responsibilities and to receive that remission for our sins. And we pray that we would go forward this day and this week and this month, that thy Spirit would indeed be with us, and that it would assist us in avoiding those sinful things that we have had in our lives hitherto, that we might be able to begin to grow closer to thee, that when we come next month, we would be able to draw closer even still. We pray that you would be with us in all of these things as we go forth, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.